The Wolf of Wall Street tells the rambunctious story of Jordan Belfort, a former stockbroker and morally ambivalent criminal who eventually served a prison term for stock market manipulation as a part of his penny stock scam. The book by Belfort and subsequent film by Martin Scorsese is set on the background of the 1980s, an era of materialism, consumerism, and the rise of yuppie culture. Jordan's ever-escalating sales tactics and aggressive male-dominated culture at Belfort's firm generated an outbound sales pit fueled by competition, greed, women, and most of all, drugs. One scene details Belfort's bachelor party in Vegas in 1991, which opens with a shot of Belfort's private plane, overflowing with cocaine and sex workers. Almost 30 years later, at a sales conference in Las Vegas at Caesar's Palace, shirtless men downing Patron margaritas would also be celebrating their fearless leader and his merry band of agents, as they were about to be facing down civil and criminal charges spanning workplace harassment, unethical sales practices, drug use, and sexual assault. These agents represent the multi-level marketing company American Income Life. What if I told you, you could have everything you ever wanted? These things, as they often do, come with a price. It doesn't keep me honest, comforting you. I know the breath you like to take. This is a podcast about multi-level marketing. Each episode, I cover their inner workings, origins, and nuances. I try to answer the question, is this the opportunity of a lifetime? Or the illusion of one. And takes you to a perfect form of my name is Jill, and you're listening to Opportunity Cost.
This is a harsh kind of business, and we'll require a harsh kind of man to see to it.
As this topic is particularly litigious, I need to make a quick disclaimer. This podcast contains my opinion. Everything in this podcast falls under fair use. No claims made about MLMs in general necessarily apply to the particular company I'm discussing in this episode. No statements made by distributors or former distributors in this podcast are necessarily representative of the company's views. Coming up on Opportunity Cost.
This is your opportunity, your deal. You are the CEO of your opportunity. I kind of think of it, it's more of an owner's mentality versus a renter's mentality.
Hello, Ms. Jill, can you hear me?
Hi, yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm gonna go ahead and send you over to another room so we can get you started, okay? It's a pleasure to get to meet you. Matt's kind of put me in charge of running through a final interview with you, is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, Mike, the lawsuit by that former agent says she observed illegal drug use, sex abuse, and fraud against unknowing customers. Now, the company, its CEO, and a former manager named in the suit all deny the allegations, as does the parent company for American Income Life.
The closer you get to your destiny, you're going to have arrows thrown at you. You're going to have shots fired at you. You're going to have people ridiculing you. You're going to have people talking about you, analyzing you. You got to stay calm when you're at war, in battle.
Some of the themes in this episode are best suited for mature audiences. There will also be some mature language in some parts. If you're listening around a young person, headphones might be advised. I'll give a content warning when we come up on that section. I was in between meetings, taking a lunch break a few weeks ago, when I got a text from an unknown number. Hi Jill, this is Taylor, interview coordinator at Globe Life Denver. We received your resume from Next and believe you would be a good fit for our company. This is a 100% remote opportunity. Are you still seeking employment? If so, is it okay to text you to schedule an interview? I never submitted a resume to a site called Next, and I no longer lived in the city they had mentioned they were located. So I knew that there was no way the story she was telling me was legit. But being the curious person I am, I texted her back. I asked if she could tell me more and if they were a subsidiary of another company. Correct. American Income Life. This is an entry-level management position. We get paid weekly and discuss hours and benefits during your interview. I couldn't believe my luck, so I agreed to attend their interview the following week over Zoom. Early one Monday morning, I logged into my computer and clicked the link that my recruiter, Taylor, sent me.
I'm so excited to spend some time with you today to share our company's story, to let you know about who we are, what we do, what we're all about. You know, we screen hundreds, if not thousands of candidates when we're looking to add to our team to try to find the right fits. And
a couple of things jumped out at me just as I logged on. I couldn't see how many people were on the call, and the person talking was not the initial name that reached out to me, but rather another man. The entire thing lasted around 30 minutes, which is a walkthrough of the company, what they sell, how their commission works.
You gotta be 18 or older to be able to obtain the license, or the state won't issue the license. You gotta be 18 or older, gotta have a good work ethic, gotta be coachable, gotta have a good attitude. The rest, you know, we'll take care of for you.
At the end of the call, he took no questions and asked that we fill out a survey to be considered for the next round.
So we've reached the conclusion of this overview. I want to talk to you about what comes next, because that's what you're probably wondering. So you're going to complete the questionnaire. Our leadership team is going to go back. We're going to review resumes. We're going to review questionnaires. We're going to review all of the candidates we're meeting with this week. And then we're going to be reaching out within a couple of hours to make those contacts to invite selected candidates to a one-on-one meeting with a member of our leadership team.
I jotted down a few half-baked one-sentence answers and left the resume attachment section blank just to see what would happen. Sure enough, I got two missed calls and a text within the next 2 hours from someone named Marcus asking when I was available for the next interview. I'm going to try and not bore everyone talking about insurance. I promise you, it's more interesting than you might initially think. So stick with me. Globe Life is a New York Stock Exchange publicly traded company that markets life, accident, and supplemental health insurance. They're known widely because of their naming rights to the Texas Rangers field, called Globe Life Field.
Over the past 6 seasons, the Rangers and Globe Life have built a very strong foundation and a valued partnership together, and we are looking forward to all the success that the team is going to have here at Globe Life Field.
What most people don't know is that Globe Life owns American Income Life.
American Income and National Income, get on your feet and help me welcome the CEO of American Income and National Income Life.
Founded in 1951, in Waco, Texas, which now is their largest subsidiary, measured both by their premiums collected or by the number of sales agents selling their products. This is CEO Steve Greer talking about what AIL is all about.
Insurance company.
16 million policyholders.
Unbelievable.
That's like
the lives impacted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we pay out Globe billions of dollars in claims. American Income, we're paying out over $70 million a quarter right now. I mean, just so many awesome things there. So it's really neat that what we do makes such a big impact on the families. You know, we're all blessed just from the business in general and the impact it's made on us. But to know, like, there's a lot of things in life you could go sell, if you will. You sell a car and they just call you because it broke down. You know, they're not happy. Ours is that type of product where later on down the road, you know, they're like, wow, man, I'm really glad that that person
on that
time
day.
On our day. Yeah.
And here he is again, speaking to the company at their annual convention in 2019.
This is your opportunity, your deal. You are the CEO of your opportunity. Your manager, your MGA, your SA, your SGA, nobody is responsible for your opportunity, but you have to own your opportunity. I kind of think of it, it's more of an owner's mentality versus a renter's mentality.
This language feels very familiar to me. Kind of odd for the CEO of an insurance company to be spreading this kind of motivational language, isn't it?
You've got to own this deal and make it your own, and don't let anybody or anyone tell you anything. Absolutely make it everything. Use this vehicle, because that's all American Income Life is a vehicle to help you accomplish your dreams and goals for your family.
American Income does sell actual policies, but they differ from other providers in that they don't offer dividends, which means you won't make as much money in the long run with American Income than with another mainstream firm. AIL sells supplemental insurance, meaning they're not designed to be full coverage, but for things like car accidents and funerals, all of which you can get covered with a standard insurance provider. Unlike with stockbrokers and other securities professionals, there is no national database where consumers can look up an insurance agent's track record, from complaints to criminal histories, because they're regulated only by the states in which they practice, which don't always require the most extensive disclosures. That, I believe, is the reason why there are so many multi-level marketing companies that sell insurance, like AIL rivals Primerica, Family First Life, and World Financial Group. I'm not using anyone's real names here because A, I'd like to protect their privacy, and B, I think it ultimately doesn't matter to the larger story. Early on the morning of my second interview, which is the first interview with an actual person, I logged into Zoom and punched in the passcode I was given. Okay. Logging in. I see. For the first few minutes, I was in a holding room with a few other people. No one said anything, and to be honest, it was pretty awkward. Hello? Then finally, someone named Josh popped into the room and prompted me to join a breakout.
Hello, Miss Jill. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm going to go ahead and send you over to another room so we can get you started, okay?
Okay.
Shouldn't see a prompt that popped up.
This is pre-caffeinated Jill. They're lucky I even showed up to talk to someone before 9 a.m.
One thing everybody typically knows about insurance is it's quite a lucrative field, you know, so the opportunities there are quite broad. And that's actually why we're here today, is to, number one, answer all the questions you have to make sure that the opportunity fits what, you know, you're looking for, and then also to make sure you're going to fit what we're looking for. So if we could answer any big questions for you today, what do you feel like they would be?
So you have to be licensed, I assume, to sell. Do you guys as the insurance company like pay for the licensing for me to study and do all of that? Or is that something that I pay out of pocket?
So everybody in our company is a licensed professional. We all get a life insurance license. Now, this is one of the easiest licenses that I think a person will get. And if we move forward with you, what we do is we actually comp half of your course for you, so that the only fee that you really pay is half, and that's $99. Once you're through the course, then all you have to do is pay for the state test, pass the state test, and then a couple of days later, you apply for your license. You know, so all together with less than a couple $100, you are a licensed expert, and then we can automatically put you into training.
So you're paying around $150 to attend the course and for the license itself. That doesn't sound that bad. Then Josh tells me about the training schedule.
So for 2 weeks, the schedule that we keep you on is Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m., and then also on Monday and Wednesday, we have 2 9 to 12 sessions for extra trainings for any new agents in their first 2 weeks. So how our pay will work during the training process, because we're a performance-only position. You know, we don't operate off of base salaries, because then we have to cap your income, and we don't cap anybody's income. So in your second week of training, the goal will specifically be, we even have a meeting to say, okay, Jill, on these days, any clients that we enroll, they're going to be put under you, and you're going to get fully compensated for those.
So with training, you're also committing to around 56 hours of training that's unpaid, which would equate to about $800 of unpaid labor, give or take what minimum wage is in your state. He says it's less than a couple $100, but in actuality, a regular sales job would pay for you to go to training, to travel. They would send you a free work computer and pay for your licensing. but not at American Income Life. How are you guys kind of sourcing your leads? Where do they come from? Are you going out and getting leads? How does that work in practice?
We actually have leads that are generated from the groups that we work with. And we'll reach out to them, set them up with one-on-one appointments, kind of like you and I are doing right now, and we'll run a professional presentation with them. You'll do the application right there because the company makes them decide that day. So there's no follow-up calls. It's like, you want this, you get it today.
Okay.
So they put the pressure on them for us.
I still don't completely understand where the leads are coming from, but it does sound like they're doing what's called pressure selling, giving their prospects a limited time to pay for the offer that day before it disappears. This is highly unusual.
So let me kind of show you what the compensation looks like.
Josh opens up a PDF of the compensation plan. The first few pages are flanked with happy, racially ambiguous looking people in business suits smiling out at me.
So every Friday is when we get our checks. And since we're not based on hourly or salary, what we actually base the payoff of is called ALP. So ALP is what the client pays for the whole year for their monthly policy. Now what's going to happen here is on Friday, you're going to get 65% of your total annual commission. And that's going to be your first check.
Okay.
Now the other check, or the other 35%, basically gets put into Jill's reserve account.
Josh quickly draws a cylindrical container in red virtual pen on the PDF, with lines flowing from the left-hand number, 35%, into the container.
And this is actually there for two reasons. Number one is to protect you, because we are paid on the full year before the clients make any payments.
Right.
And then the second thing is to fill the cup up. Because whenever you fill the cup up around your fourth to fifth month in the company, theoretically, this cup just spills out. And that's when you would actually start to receive your residual income, which is money that the company, you know, didn't give you, but now they have nowhere else to keep it. So now they got to start giving it back to you.
On the right-hand side of the page is a list of bonuses from $4,000 to $30,000 that Josh describes as residuals. If someone cancels their policy and I have to pay out of the reserve account, why am I paying the penalty out of my potential commission for someone being unhappy with the delivery of the product, the service of which I have nothing to do with?
Coming!
Hi, I'm Ryan.
And Kate, is that right?
Yes, perfect.
Perfect.
Great.
So we spoke on the phone earlier. I'm with the Child Safe Kit program. We'll be covering that tonight. Before I come in, would you like me to take off my shoes?
That'd be a big help. Thank you so much.
Okay. I found hundreds of videos of new reps practicing their scripts.
Hi, my name's Tori. I'm with American Income Child Safe Division. I'm here to drop off the Child Safe Kit program for John and Mary. Are you John? I will give you a family information guide. So this document's very similar to a will, but unfortunately most parents don't know that in the state of Florida, if you're about to pass away and it's not documented where your child would go, DCF can take your kids for a minimum of 2 to 3 days until they figure out who is best to watch your child.
Most of these cover a sales pitch using child safe kits, which are kits designed to record information about your child should they ever go missing, so that police and fire departments have that information on hand. On the Child Safe Kit website, in the fine print to receive a kit, it says, quote, "You give consent for a licensed insurance agent to deliver our Child Safe Kits and explain additional insurance coverage available." As far as I can tell, these Child Safe Kits are just a foot in the door to pivot to recruiting pitches.
The way that we give back to the community is offering positions inside of our company. So do you know of anybody who is currently unhappy in their position or looking for a career change? No? Okay.
Or their other life or health insurance policies.
So there are two programs. There is a no-cost program and a program you must qualify for. If you qualify, you may enroll. These are family protection programs, which are insurance programs. And if there's anything that you want to do, do it today. Because once I'm finished with my day, I must report all the families I've seen into the system, and they won't send another agent like me to the same address for a period of 1 year.
They also ask these leads to participate in a referral program where they can sponsor other families with kids and provide their contact information.
So I don't mean to alarm you, but there are over 500,000 children that go missing every year. That is 1,300 children that don't come home a day to their parents like your children came home to you. So they ask us to ask you for your help. Now, it's not money if that's what you're thinking. It's a lot simpler than that. They just ask for 10 people that you know with children. They ask for their name, their phone number, how many kids they need, and for you to let them know what you have done for them today. It's called Save a Child's Life Program. So who's the first parent that you'd like to sponsor today?
And with that, I have won the MLM bingo. Recruiting, pressure selling, bait and switch, request for personal information, and the free space of emotional manipulation completing my five across. Do I win something in this contest from hell? Clearly, this is a simple lead funnel where they can use the same approach with a new prospect. From what I've seen from American Income Life, they target low-income families, immigrants, and young people, both to sell their policies and to recruit into AIL. In a $5.7 million class action lawsuit filed against AIL in 2021 in California, agents were subject to a practice called chargebacks, which means that if an agent sold an insurance policy that was later canceled by the customer, AIL would collect back the commissions and wages that those agents earned from the initial sale. From what I learned in my interview with AIL, they aren't practicing chargebacks in a direct sense, but are, in my opinion, garnishing commissions with the assumption that chargebacks are taken from that reserve account that's set up to collect 35% of your commissions. We talked about this earlier in my interview with Josh.
So like we put the money in the cup early so that if anything happens after 4 months, it doesn't happen to you at all.
It's unclear to me whether the company will pay you what's left in the reserve account if you decide to quit. I found this review on Indeed, the popular job listing site. They promise qualified leads and big commissions, but that is far from the truth. Leads are gathered by people filling out requests for free child safe kits and free will kits. They are told they need to sit through a quick presentation that's actually an hour-long sales pitch for life insurance. That's if you can even get them to agree to sit down with you. A lot of these leads have been cycled through other agents several times already before they make it to you. They push you to bring in new recruits because that's the best way to guarantee your income. Not off sales, but off of other people's backs. Sure, they have a product, and some do buy, but if you want to make money, you need to recruit. Groups with traditionally poor financial literacy are extremely vulnerable to being sold policies that, one, they don't need, and two, are of poor quality compared to other, more reputable companies like Allstate and State Farm. American Income Life and other insurance MLMs like them use the naturally complicated financial products they sell to give their prospects a false sense of security. Insurance agents have to be licensed, and therefore must be legitimate. Content warning. The themes in this next section are graphic in nature, detailing sexual harassment, sexual assault, drug use, verbal and physical abuse. Listen at your discretion, or feel free to skip ahead to the next section. In the spring of 2022, an explosive lawsuit was filed against Simon Arias III, Michael Rusin, and American Income Life.
Well, Mike, the lawsuit by that former agent says she observed illegal drug use, sex abuse, and fraud against unknowing customers here at Arias Agencies, which is located in a strip mall in Wexford. Now, the company, its CEO, and a former manager named in the suit all deny the allegations, as does the parent company for American Income Life, which is also named in the suit. But that former agent tells a very disturbing story.
A few weeks after the suit was filed, Arias and his team of agents were documented in Vegas at American Income Life's annual convention for their top sellers.
So we're here at Caesar's Palace, and we're just so excited to be here.
Convention here down in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Here drinking poolside with the boys here. Arias Agencies, let's go.
Arias is seen here shirtless, flanked by other muscular-looking men with gold chains, pouring themselves drinks poolside at Caesar's Palace. Hundreds of 20-something men in tight-fitting suits grace the stage at the end of the conference and gesture to the camera, double-fisting Jack and Cokes, and thanking their leader and each other for American Income Life and Globe Life.
This is my first convention. It's a great honor to be here. Thank God for AIL and Globe Life. Get to meet with a lot of the top producers and learn from everybody else. So it's a great time to be here in Vegas today.
I remember when it was a struggle to get five people for me to convention, and now we have over 200 people being impacted in this company at convention. If you're in this room, you earned it.
Thank you for joining me this evening. Thank you for everything you do. And let's party like we're in Vegas tomorrow night.
Business Insider uncovered this story in early 2023. Much of what I'll reference here is covered in that article. Several former agents working at Arias's agency describe it as an environment of fear, retaliation, and toxicity. This is a compilation of agents that are a part of Arias's agency, so we have context of the kinds of ideas that these men, and it is a majority of men, ascribe to. They share their takes on a variety of subjects, like buying luxury.
In our business, designer contributes to investments because people want to have a rich life.
Yeah.
Nice fucking, like, I want to work for the dude that has the nicest fucking car. Yeah. That's me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe that isn't for everybody out there, but like, if you have a spaceship, I want to work for you.
Their response to COVID shutdowns.
I think we all bought guns.
We all instantly. It was cool though. We like,
yeah, it was
we
sick.
Went to go buy guns and they were like, this is sweet.
I was so ready to fuck people up, bro.
Dude, we started shooting them in the house.
No, we didn't. You I walk in, there's like beats on, someone's on FaceTime, there's 19 pillows and there's just an AR, and you look up, you're like, well, it went through the floor. I was like, I live down there, dude.
Oh yeah, yeah, bro,
it's not good.
Their favorite movies.
So favorite movie,
Wolf of Wall Street. Once I saw Wolf of Wall Street, I was like, dude, if I ain't fucking doing this shit, I don't want to live.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah,
facts.
And birth control.
Man, what is it in women that they're so attracted to? Because you've posted about this before. Why are they so attracted to low T? I would just immediately classify it as a low T male.
I can tell you right away.
Just a soft ass dude.
Birth control. They did a study where they took women that were not on birth control and they took women that were on birth control, and they showed them pictures of men's faces. The women on birth control were far more attracted, like exponentially so, to men with more feminine features.
As former agents describe, Arias's agency had a pervasive problem with sexism and general aggression.
The closer you get to your destiny, you're going to have arrows thrown at you. You're going to have shots fired at you. You're going to have people ridiculing you. You're going to have people talking about you, analyzing you. You got to stay calm when you're at war, in battle.
They tell of MMA-style sparring at the office, in their custom wrestling room with mats, recruiting prospects at strip clubs, and rampant steroid and drug use.
Between Coke, Xanax, Cialis, you name it, there was all kinds of different drugs. It was just very cult-like in a way.
Zinsky recorded CEO Simon Arias at a staff meeting.
I'm raising savages that are going to be successful. We're going to create so many millionaires.
She says Arias and top officials, including her supervisor, Michael Russin, would wrestle in the agency office.
Outside of unprofessional behavior were other claims, like forging customer signatures, billing customers without their consent, targeting the elderly, uneducated, or unsophisticated.
They were selling people insurance without their consent.
Yes, that was very common.
One former agent told Insider that when she was in training in 2016, her supervisor called her into a room and had her recite a lengthy sales script from memory. When she forgot some of the lines, he started throwing objects around, physically picked her up, and sat her on a table and said, "How come you don't effing know this script?" This was in full view of other agents dressed outside the glass conference room. One agent said that her superior had commented on her breasts in front of other coworkers, nicknaming her Jugs. Senior male managers were called studs and stallions. Women were called bitches, sluts, and whores. The agent who filed the suit, Renee Zinsky, said her superior, Michael Rusin, offered her a promotion contingent on her performing sexual acts for him.
He wanted you to perform sexual favors for him in order to get a promotion.
Yes. Yes. And then it turned into just watching him. He would pull up porn on his phone and he would say, well, then you can just sit there.
Later, at a company-sanctioned event, Renee left her drink to go to the bathroom. And the next thing she remembered was waking up in a hotel room at 3 a.m.
I couldn't feel my body. I literally couldn't feel anything. I just couldn't move. I was sore in certain places. I didn't understand why.
You believe that someone put something into your drink?
Yes. I know because it was very... GHB was another drug that was passed around a lot.
Emily Mayfield, another former agent with American Income Life, claimed she was also drugged and assaulted at a company event.
Unfortunately, I was assaulted in a manner that I'm not sure if I can say on here. And I reported it to my management team through this company, and I was told to be quiet.
Most of the class action suits started by Zinsky went to arbitration, but Zinsky's federal suit against her former manager will go in front of court. Here's Rusin himself speaking on a podcast about the lawsuits against him and what he perceives to be the cause of them.
I was keeping myself going with Adderall, Xanax, GHB, alcohol all day. That's how I would get the job done because that would give me the energy to show up, plug 10, 12 hours, you know? And then what really made things bad when shit really imploded was I got on the wrong hormone treatment and it, again, like I can't tell you how big of a proponent I am on that theory that hormones will warp your perception. Like I was convinced that everybody was out to get me. Everybody was an enemy. And it made me this angry, vindictive, violent outburst. Like it made me venomous as a person. Cause my perception was that everybody was out to get me.
As Rusin's trial was coming up, he began posting threatening messages on his social media accounts. In one, he said that if anyone interfered with his ability to care for the child he and his wife were expecting, he'd peel the skin off their face and feed their eyes to his dog. I asked Josh about these allegations, and he said the following.
Yeah, we actually heard about that too. They're under the company, but they're not associated with our agency at all.
You guys are a separate thing.
Yeah, not even associated with them at all. Yeah, I heard about that too.
Yeah, what was your?
Yeah, that was really unfortunate to hear.
Yeah, what was your like take on that? Like how that really happened? Like you think it was just kind of like a bad apple sort of situation?
Every agency has its culture, you know. Some of the agencies have more like that fratty vibe to them where it's like you feel like that's something that might be more acceptable. That's how the Pittsburgh offices are, you know. And other than that, I don't agree with any of that stuff. I mean, that gentleman, if he wasn't fired, should definitely be fired. Even though he's been here for 9-10 years, it's just, you know, at that point, it's a little bit of your arrogance stepping out, you know, your cockiness and you're making a lot of money. You feel like you can do what you want. It's just... For me personally, our agency doesn't run that way. And once again, I hope that doesn't reflect every single agency in this company.
Insider found that, quote, top managers at AIL were aware of drug abuse and inappropriate sexual conduct as far back as 2015. Months after Renee escalated her complaint to Globe Life, Larry Hutchinson, then Globe's co-CEO, awarded Arias the coveted Legacy Award, which recognizes agency owners for sales production, grooming new leaders, and giving back to the community.
Stephen Greer, Mr. Greer in the house.
Welcome to the Grindcast studio again, Mr. Greer.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be back.
And here's Steve Greer, current CEO of American Income Life, on Arias's podcast in 2021. You check
out. Let me just tell you thank you. What you do as a person, what you do for this agency, what you do for the company. You're a very, very big part, a very special part of our company, and our company wouldn't be here without you.
As of the publication of the Insider article in February 2023, Arias and Rusin are still listed as agents for AIL.
My response is just a laugh. You know what I mean? It's just anybody with two brain cells to rub together could see through, and most of you did, through the ridiculous, just outlandish, just nonsense. You know what I mean? Like, why'd you keep getting in after the third and fourth time? You know what I mean? It just, it would be more believable if you just said once or twice, you know? But anyways, that's neither here nor there.
One of my sources, who wishes to remain anonymous, let me know I could share her experience working at AIL from 2016 to 2017. She was not at Arias' agency, but a different one. It was definitely a boys' club. The higher-level agents all wore custom suits, were overly manicured, and reeked of cologne. There was constant wild partying, but I only saw a small part of it. One agent constantly sexually harassed women in the office. I have a video of him laying underneath a desk while he was trying to look up my skirt. My dad urged me to file a complaint against him, but I wanted to continue to be one of the boys. He passed around nudes of women we worked with. All was forgiven since he regularly pulled in 10K plus in bonuses at the weekly meetings. He ended up getting fired for submitting oral swabs that he took himself. Policies of his got rejected because the swabs were coming back positive for coke, nicotine, and THC. He was sent to rehab, but last I heard he was using again, and hired back onto the agency. I started to lose faith when I saw how the people I'd recruited were struggling. One agent was about to lose her house after not seeing a check for months. If we had low sales, we were told we weren't trying hard enough. I couldn't push policies on families who could barely afford food. Months after she resigned from AIL, she got a call from the home office saying that her policy was going to lapse. The problem with that is that she had never signed up for a policy. She found out that one of the higher-level managers had signed her up for one without her consent. She confronted him, and he denied any knowledge of the policy in question. Her theory is that he did this to get a new agent a small payday, and by extension, encourage them to commit to continue to build their AIL business. It's easy to label AIL, or even Arias's toxic team, as an outlier. But that would be simplistic and lets the business model and leadership off the hook for creating the ideal environment for this kind of financial and sexual abuse to flourish. Back to my interview with AIL. I wanted to know more about the recruitment process with the company, so I asked.
Yeah, so in our company, we offer leadership positions to anybody within, you know, within your first 1 to 2 months, you can, you know, move into a leadership position. And the first leadership position is a supervising agent. And based off their performance, the company would provide you with a leadership bonus. And then leaders in their first year, you know, with teams of 4 or 5, you can expect them to be making anywhere between $91,000 to $150,000.
Taking a look at their compensation PDF, it really doesn't mention anything about management levels, except for a ballpark salary figure and how long it typically takes to get to that level, from a couple of years to 8 to 10 years, with the salaries increasing in conjunction. So we can reasonably assume that you're making some sort of profit from the policies that your team sells. Is there a certain way that you're finding these kinds of leads, like yourself, or is it kind of the thing where the company hands you leads, like the policies?
Yeah. Oh, are you talking about with like recruiting and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, we actively hire. for people who might be looking for an opportunity like this. And, you know, if we make it through the final interview, then, you know, we'll be able to pull you through and help you get your license and, you know, give you the same opportunity that we're giving other people who are qualified.
Got it.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So organically, we could help you build your own team.
He's kind of skirting my question about this. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Well, great questions, dude.
This is paraphrased from a Business Insider article. Quote, even in the absence of a national database, Insider was able to examine compilations of consumer complaints that suggest an aggressive, even abusive sales culture surrounding Globe and AIL. Globe had nearly 6 times as many complaints filed with state regulators in 2021 on its life insurance products as the average insurance company. Websites that publish consumer complaints also include pages of missives from angry AIL customers. The BBB gave AIL an A+ rating. Yet the company had so many customer complaints, the Bureau published only 25% of them. Currently, AIL has a 1.71 customer rating. I end up asking Josh about this BBB rating, and this was his response.
On the Better Business Bureau, there's actually a comment that says the comments are not a reflection of the actual standing of for the company. But, I mean, people who go on the Better Business Bureau, a lot of them are clients who may have been dissatisfied or, you know, even agents that worked here who were dissatisfied. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just part of the business, you know, so the negativity is going to continue to speak louder than anything. But the company, you know, has lots of accolades to show that they're ready to go.
Peering through the side eye, I am giving this dubious business opportunity. I like Josh in spite of it. He's clearly very sharp and a great communicator. I can't help but wonder what kind of success he might be able to have in a real sales environment.
You know, our company does have a big motto. It's hire for attitude and train for skill. We're very confident that our training system is going to make you successful. It does. And I feel like you bring a lot of great characteristics to the table. And that's why Globe Life and Matt, our CEO, have all agreed that we feel like you'd be a great fit for us and we'd be a good fit for you as well. And that's why I want to say congrats, Miss Jill, and welcome to the team. And we look forward to working with you.
Thank you. This is now the strangest interview I've ever had. This guy knows nothing about me. I didn't give him a resume. He doesn't know anything except what I've told him. But he and the CEO are personally offering me a job, selling highly complicated financial products. It occurred to me that it doesn't make sense for a reasonable person to invest money with people who maybe know a tiny bit more than me about insurance. I wouldn't buy insurance from me. Why should I trust some barely 18-year-old with something as important as protecting me or my family? Ever since The Wolf of Wall Street lit a pop culture firestorm, personalities across the social ecosystem have been imitating its ethos as a Gordon Gekko-wise reality that props up greed, masculinity, and targeted messaging towards young men and young people. In my opinion, American Income Life clearly values this kind of aggression from its reps, from the promises they make on calls to average people like me, to the testosterone-fueled conference rooms at Arias's agencies. So, is American Income Life on a singular mission to help protect working families? I'll let you decide. Don't you see that man is lying to you? He's in your mind now, don't you let him fool you? What's distracting you on every screen? Opportunity Cost is brought to you by Blow Studio. It is produced, edited, and hosted by me, Jill. If you have a story to share, email me at blow.studio@gmail.com. That's blow, B-L-O-W-W, studio@gmail.com. Follow me at opcostpod on Instagram. That's OPPCOSTPOD. Thanks for listening. Haven't you had quite enough?